All right, welcome into the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage Chiefs. Today, I'm really excited to be joined by a special editor-in-chief of Full Press Coverage, the managing editor right now for FPC Buccaneers, Ian Glendon. Ian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and talk Brady and some guy named Patrick Holmes.
Yeah, and we were obviously discussing some of that before the show, but we won't get into all of that. Obviously, it's going to be a fun game on Sunday, and I'm just thankful as we're coming off of Thanksgiving that we're able to get this deep into the season with the COVID stuff going on, and we see how that's kind of reverberating around the league right now. But what's kind of your opening thoughts on the game, Ian, going into Sunday, especially knowing that these two teams are among the best in their own respective conferences right now?
Well, I think first off, coming into this game, we're going to learn a lot more about the Bucs than we do about the Chiefs. I think we know who the Chiefs are. I think we know what, you know, they're really good at, which is a lot of things, and what they struggle at. And, you know, when it comes to the Bucs, though, they're a team that is obviously coming off a bad loss. They've had a couple bad losses this season, and you know, this is a measuring stick game. And I know, you know, across the field, you don't often have, you know, a but aside from Brady's, obviously, success in the playoffs and in the postseason, the Bucs don't really have that. So this type of season is new to them. So I'm really anxious to see what game we get out of both teams. But at the end of the day, I think you're going to learn a lot more negatively or positively about the Bucs than you do about the Chiefs.
Yeah, and that's kind of the interesting thing to me, looking at Tampa Bay, how they played last week, knowing obviously the history of Tom Brady coming off of losses. And like you said, I mean, just new territory that Tampa Bay's in as a whole. I mean, growing up, obviously, I really don't remember that 2007 season as well, probably as others, since I was only about 10 at the time. But for sure, it's been a long time for Tampa Bay. And this game also, just the timing of it, the Chiefs coming off the win against the Raiders, but the defense is certainly struggling right now. There's some weird things, I think, behind the scenes with the usage of players and obviously with the pass rush kind of struggling to get home right now. That is going to be really interesting to see against Tampa Bay's offensive line. I know Ollie Marpet and Donovan Smith are questionable, so that's going to be something I'm looking forward to. But let's start with the Tampa Bay defensive side of the ball. I know Antoine Winfield Jr., rookie out of Minnesota, he's done a great job to start the year, but just as a whole, this defensive back group, what has kind of led to their overall improvement so far this season?
You know, I think first and foremost, they're not dealing with a quarterback that turns the ball over as much. And, you know, for any even really great defense, having to play excessive extra possessions is going to take a wear on you. Field Jr. to the mix really helps create a playmaking dynamic that was certainly there, but he brings one of those special dynamics. Obviously, he's the son of former NFL player Antoine Winfield, and you know, you can tell that the kid was ready to be an NFL player the moment he was on the field. But you know, the Bucs even last year were a good run defense and good up front. Obviously, I think that helps. You know, certainly the back end, and then you add in the fact that you know, the players are talented. I mean, you got some really good young players that are taking advantage, for the most part, of some of the opportunities that are given to them. But much like this team in general, they have had their downs, just not just as much, but certainly at times, as opposed to being great all the time.
Yeah, and I was really looking forward to actually seeing Jamel Dean until I saw the injury report this week, and now he's going to be out. But also just this matchup between these defensive backs and the receivers of the Chiefs, Sammy Watkins, supposed to be back this week. We thought that would happen last week against the Raiders, but he had another lower leg injury flare up. So right now it looks like he'll make his return against Tampa Bay, which makes things interesting. Hasn't been a lot of tape on him in a little while. So just seeing how Tampa Bay defends him coming back is going to be something to watch in itself. But I really also look at this linebacker group and the instincts and ball skills they have in the passing game. It's going to be, I think, a really fun matchup against Patrick Mahomes because of how kind of he attacks the intermediate part of the field. What linebacker do you, out of the group of, say, Devin White, Levante David, and even Shaq Barrett, which one sticks out to you the most in this kind of matchup?
You know, I think it's always going to be Levante David because, I mean, it's such a talented group in general, but, you know, Levante David's been really one of the most underrated defensive players over the last few years. And now that Tampa's more in the spotlight, I think he's becoming more of a star league wide. He can do so many things on the field. And you're right. This is going to have to be a very disciplined Buccaneers defense. They can't allow breakdowns, even the simplest breakdowns in coverage at any level, because that's what opens up these holes for these playmakers. And again, you know, Patrick Mahomes, find them. He's not going to sit there and worry if the play doesn't matriculate right away. You know, he'll wait a little bit, he'll let it happen, and then eventually, and a lot of teams do this, they'll get impatient or they'll make a mistake, and all of a sudden, that's when, you know, this Chiefs offense will really kill you. So really disciplined defensive play. And it, like you said, it really starts with this linebacking group, because if you can help and start taking away that middle of the field, i.e. trying to take away Travis Kelce's bread and butter, then you can start to do some things with the other players on the outside and kind of, you know, hopefully try to dictate how this game is played as opposed to the other way around.
I think the thing that sticks out to me whenever I get to watch Tampa Bay's defense or just watching them on tape this week, preparing for this game, is just how they attack. And again, just like I said earlier, the instincts that they have, it's not that common for linebackers in today's pass happy NFL to really have those capabilities. So like you said, with Travis Kelce, that matchup, we saw the game he had last week against the Raiders, a lot of plays kind of really outside the numbers. So I'm wondering how Tampa Bay is really going to defend him. But kind of just sticking with the pass defense real quick here before we move on, what was it last week with the Rams, kind of their speed and the looks that they showed that you thought gave the Tampa Bay defense the most trouble?
You know, to be honest with you, I think it was more because we saw kind of a tale of two halves from this Tampa defense. In the second half, they looked more the better unit that we've kind of come to expect for the most part. In the first half, they just played very sloppy play. I mean, they missed tackles. They seem to be caught flat-footed a lot and just really not playing up to their ability. So I don't know if it was necessarily any schematic thing that the Rams did. I just think Tampa was just beat. You know what I mean? It felt like they were too often, especially early on, out of position. The tackling effort was very poor. And, you know, those two things that's a recipe for disaster. And, you know, for the most part, they cleaned those things up in the second half because they were a bit more physical. They were, making more tackles. So, look, this is a defensive, team that can, you know, play, they're pretty flexible in what they can play because of the talent on their team. They haven't been as strong up the middle since Vita Vea went down. Whether or not that's, you know, direct cause and effect, you kind of think it might be a little bit, but this team is certainly capable of shutting down high profile players. It's just whether or not they choose to bring that effort, because we've seen when they've been bad, they've been really bad. And that's, you know, as a team. So I think that kind of answered the question without, you know what I mean? I think right. So, but it's a tough question to answer because again, I thought they just played so poorly. Each side of the ball, I thought, played very poorly for one half, and it, you know, obviously resulted in them losing the game. So.
Right. And even the Monday Night Football broadcast kind of mentioned it. I mean, the Rams, the running game was their bread and butter coming in. So to see them kind of change that up maybe was part of that, and knowing they had to keep pace with Tom Brady and his arm. But I guess as we say one final thing about the Tampa Bay defense, of course, the run defense has been one of the best in the league over the last about year and a half. Jason Pierre-Paul, to me, is the guy there. I mean, really sticks out against this Chiefs blocking unit because they've been banged up. Mike Remmers has done a pretty remarkable job, all things considered, filling in for Mitchell Schwartz, but the interior part of that line is what worries me. Jason Pierre-Paul, if they can't figure him out, I don't think it matters. I mean, about the rest of the interior defensive line, I think it's going to be a long day if they can't get around him. And we saw him really stuff some plays against the Rams. Jason Pierre-Paul, former Giant, ever since he's come to Tampa, what's really kind of kept him going ever since, you know, that unfortunate accident off the field, and everything kind of just involved with him coming to the team.
Well, I mean, he's just an immensely talented player. You know, we saw that with the Giants pre, you know, fireworks injury, and we see it pretty much on a week-to-week basis. He's kind of, you know, he can rush the passer. He can play pretty good run defense, but at the same time, he's the type of guy who can get his hands, you know, even with the injury in the way, kind of like a J.J. Watt. We saw that kind of on full display yesterday, and Patriots fans certainly saw it last week. He has that ability to disrupt a lot of the passing game without getting his hands on the quarterback. And that's something that could play a role in how Mahomes will eventually try to navigate this defense, because we know he can get around a lot of defensive ends, but when you have one that can essentially, I don't want to say keep up with him, but maintain the an appropriate distance from him and get his arms in the way, that can affect a lot of passes and really throw the rhythm off. So he's a guy, you know, if you're on the offense, you're going to have to account for pretty much all across that defensive line.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, just alongside with the defense on Kansas City's side struggling right now in their pass defense, I think the offensive line has easily been something that has been under close eye all season. Andy Reid's a coach that he's never going to hesitate to change up the best five combo, so to speak. So really going to be interesting, because Austin Ryder's been back and forth in the lineup now. Andrew Wiley's shown a little bit more improvement lately, but again, it's going to be a tough task against Pierre-Paul, Ndamukong Suh, and all those guys. But of course, let's flip over now to the Tampa Bay offense. And on paper, I mean, probably one of the best group of skill players you could have. I mean, basically two wide receiver ones and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. And now you bring in Antonio Brown, who has carved out a pretty fine role for himself. And when Gronkowski's been on, I mean, he's still been the same old player he was before that 1 year retirement with New Orleans. So to you, I mean, right now, when you look at this team, have they reached kind of their peak yet? Or what do you think is really their best game that we could see still down the line this season?
No, I wouldn't say they've reached their peak, certainly not for 60 minutes. We've seen them at times look, you know, unstoppable, you know, and I think when it all is said and done, they're closer to that high powered offensive unit than we see the one that struggles. But, you know, at the same time, Chris Godwin has missed 3.5 games. Mike Evans has been, you know, dealing with lingering injuries since the start of the season. And, you know, and Antonio Brown is really, you're right, he's really started to, you know, make an impact on this offense a little bit more consistently through the first three games. So we just haven't, I don't think we've seen this team at its full potential yet, which can be scary, because again, I think despite, some of the reaction to last week's game, Tom Brady's still really, really good. I don't want to, you know, I think a lot of people are putting a lot of weight on an interception, and I kind of made a joke that might upset Chiefs fans, but before that game was lost, I said he was on pace to win a Super Bowl 54 MVP, and it wasn't so much a jab at Mahomes, it was more or less a jab at relying on strictly box scores to make a definitive proclamation about a player's, you know, a player's performance, because, like, when you break it down, he didn't have a great game, but this Bucs team struggles certainly from the running back position at catching the ball. And they haven't really been that great aside from a really good game from Ronald Jones a few weeks ago, or at least they haven't been consistent enough running the ball. So there are things that this team needs to get better at. They need a more of a rhythm play calling. We've seen when they've been bad, they've been very stale. So, and that's something you don't get from the Chiefs. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. You have first of all, a far better coach. You have for a couple of years now with obviously just a couple new pieces coming in. So there's that familiarity. So I don't know if the Bucs quite have that yet, which again, you know, you're getting closer to the end of the season, so you want to see it soon, but that could really come together at any moment. And, you know, hey, all we got to do is keep it together for about 4 or 5 weeks or so at the end of the year through the playoffs, and they'll be pretty happy with it.
Yeah. You brought up, which was a perfect kind of segue there, just because, I mean, I've honestly really been confused. And running backs are a weird thing, right, in the NFL. I mean, somebody gets hot, you know, coach will kind of lean on that hot hand, or if there's a loyalty that some coach has with another player, they'll kind of stick to that. But, you know, Tampa Bay in the offseason, from what I remember, praised Ronald Jones going in. He's kind of been the lead guy starting every game. But then last week against the Rams, I was just really confused with how they kind of kept him out of the game, though, in those long yardage situations, kind of relying on Fournette more. Is there just something that they're trying to play with there with those two running backs, or is it really more of just Jones still trying to fill out a role at the NFL level?
I think part of the problem is predictability. So Jones and Leonard Fournette in particular, and yes, folks, LeSean McCoy is still on this team, if you were wondering. I got reminded of that last week as well. So, but those two in particular, they each do, or supposedly each do one thing very well. So the problem is when one or the other is on the field, you kind of have an idea of what they're going to do. Leonard Fournette was meant to come in and be able to, yes, run the ball, but of course be a guy that could catch the ball. He had a terrible game the other day. He had three drops, which that's absurd. But he hasn't been able to run the ball that well either. Ronald Jones has really been struggling, even if he does catch it, with ball security. So in the passing game, so that's a big, you know, if you look at Bucs Twitter during games, you know, get Ronald Jones off the field when it comes to passing situations. He certainly has the most upside on the ground. But again, when you bring him in and you know that, well, 8 times out of 10, you're running when he's on the field, it's going to become a little bit easier for you to stop, especially when you know that Tom's not going to trust him in the passing game if he continues to drop passes. So a bit of a predicament. I think that is certainly a weak spot when it, you know, maybe shouldn't be. So it is going to be interesting to see what kind of game they bring, because if these guys are dropping passes consistently down the stretch, you know, I don't care what kind of quarterback play you have. Those passes are always going to be dropped in the most crucial situations, and it's going to come back to bite you. So.
Right. Yeah. And kind of just mentioning that predictability is, move a little closer now to Tom Brady. Obviously, we're, like we said, talked about him and Mahomes off the air before we started, but Next Gen Stats has him 0-for-19 in his last 19 deep passes. But again, I think some of that, like you said, predictability with the play calling. One of the interceptions against the Rams, I think the pressure just kind of got to him more than anything. And the thing is, I mean, he's still got a lot of velocity on those deep throws, and the placement's usually there, you know, in one-on-one situations. But overall, I mean, do you think it's something that Tom is, maybe is he trying to force it a little more than usual on those deep balls right now, knowing maybe what he has around him with these weapons, or is it just something he's trying to work through? No, you're good.
Sorry, I was gearing up to answer, and I think I geared up a little bit too quickly there. No, I don't think it's more than normal, because I was talking to someone today about this, and at times throughout his career, and I pointed to the Saints game as he can get frustrated. I mean, it's part of his thing. You know, he can get frustrated, and there's times in games that are kind of out of reach where he just, you know, forces passes. And in this case, he threw a couple bad interceptions. And I remember sitting there watching the pass happen live. And I'm like, wow, this feels like one of those just F it, throw it down there moments from Brady, because he's just so frustrated. And it's like, look, you know, it's like when you're at the end of a Madden game and you just want to finish it. You're in like the last 3 minutes, you're being blown out. It's like, just press A, press A, press A. Just, you know, throw the ball down the field. I don't care, you know, whatever. I kind of get that feeling from Brady at times. And this isn't new. You know, this has happened with Belichick. This has happened, obviously, with the Patriots. And we've seen it at times. So I'm not necessarily concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is probably the play calling. And again, this all ties into the whole rhythm of everything, where the play calling hasn't been great. I mean, I guarantee you 8 out of 10 times you're going to see them run on first down, and all of a sudden they're in a, and since they haven't been able to consistently get yards, they're often in a second and long situation, which means, okay, well, we're going to force the ball down the field. And as you know, any good defense is going to play to that. And again, when these guys are covered, and on top of that, you know, you're getting pressure like in the Rams game, like, you know, Brady didn't really have a lot of time to throw in some of these situations. So it's don't know. I'm not concerned about his deep ball ability. Again, I equate ability to his actual ability to throw the ball deep, and that's certainly not an issue. He can still do that. But this team does need to get more on rhythm and get more in sync when it comes to making these plays and the timing of these plays too. Again, going back to Madden, I mean, you can sit there and just pick random plays, but you know, if they don't work together, it's not going to do you much. And I think that's kind of what the Bucks have been suffering with. And, you know, low percentage plays like deep balls like that are certainly going to take a hit.
Yeah. And I mean, again, Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, like you said, I mean, first year with them, they don't have the continuity, maybe that the Chiefs do, but of course, I mean, it is still Tom Brady, one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best of all time. So kind of something that's going to be fun to watch, I think, in this game, of course, is both teams are maybe never going to be out of it with these quarterbacks. So what has kind of that brought to Tampa Bay this year? As we said earlier, not really having, you know, a lot of success in recent memory. Jameis Winston, you know, had so many turnovers, even as willing as he was to throw it down the field. So what has kind of that brought to the Bucs as a whole?
Yeah, excitement for sure. I mean, like, you know, you talk about a team that, you know, has the worst winning percentage in the history of the NFL. You know, that's not hyperbole. That's a fact. And it's to this fan base because they did experience a lot of these fans that were at least some of the ones, at least my age, of the, I guess, younger fan base. Up to my age, did experience a Super Bowl back in 2002, but since then they haven't won a single playoff game. Not one. Not a single playoff game has been won since John Gruden coached the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So it's but at the same time, just like, you know, if you're a Red Sox fan pre-2004, you always expected to lose no matter how good you look. I think some Bucks fans are certainly hassling and dealing with that right now, where it's like, if things go bad for a quarter, it's like, oh, season's done, season's over with. But in reality, what's happened to this team is they became a contender and a national spotlight team overnight. And they've continued that. And again, this is what happens when you become a national spotlight team, especially one interception is going to create a week's worth of anxiety, despair, talking points. And, you know, that trickles down through the fan base as well. And so, you know, from a franchise standpoint, bringing in this type of team, I think a lot of people are even if they doubted it before, I think deep down they realize, hey, this is a great, you know, a great step for this franchise because, hey, they're contending. And the way things were going before, prior to Tom Brady, none of that tells me that they were going to be contending anytime soon, especially if they stuck with Jameis Winston, despite a group of people that may believe otherwise. There's nothing in his 5 years that said all of a sudden he was going to become a quarterback that he wasn't, which is, you know, a less talented Brett Favre. Because guess what? Brett Favre did the same things. He was just better and played in an era that was more suited for potentially what he's doing. I mean, but here's the thing. When you're throwing as many interceptions in a league that, you know, it's not like throwing 18 interceptions in 2000. We're talking about 18 interceptions in 2018. That should be near impossible. With
right.
The way this game is played and how it's officiated, it shouldn't happen, let alone 30. So, very long-winded answer, but this franchise, this team, the city, I mean, they're better off right now. They may not realize it. There may be some people that are living and dying each and every day with what happens with the Bucks, and trust me, I get it. And, you know, Chiefs fans get it too. They could be 9-1, but that only magnifies any issue that they may have, because all of a sudden you realize what's at stake. You realize what could be lost in any given moment. And I think Bucks fans are, you know, again, they're riding this roller coaster of, you know, very high emotions, being kind of given a little bit of humble pie to start the season, you know, peaks and valleys throughout. But for the most part, it's a great win for the city. It's a great win for the franchise. And I think at the end of the year, regardless of what happens, I think they're going to look at this as a great success, because I do expect them to be in the playoffs. And whether or not that's facing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see if the Chiefs get there, right? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, for sure.
But it'll be fun. No, and it starts with this weekend because, hey, at the end of the day, if there's one guy that Mahomes is still kind of looking to get over that hump, I guess, it's Tom Brady because technically he still has a 2-1 record against him. Still.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's been the kind of the theme, you know, the first game. I mean, even though Mahomes kind of led the Chiefs back, I mean, Brady dominated those two games during the 2018 season. So, I mean, it's still a long road. I mean, as much as Chiefs fans want to crown Mahomes already. But I can't even imagine what this game would be like, obviously, if it was a full stadium non-COVID year.
Yeah.
You know, and just like you said, possible Super Bowl preview. But, you know, and just looking at the Bucs going into the future, like you said, the energy and just kind of a new aura surrounding them. I mean, the NFC to me, it's so muddy right now, but I honestly don't know if I trust quarterbacks enough like I do Tom Brady and just the team, even though they're in this new position. I mean, it's so hard to say, but again, I would always trust Brady before any other quarterback, especially in the NFC right now. So Sunday, hopefully for the Chiefs' sake, I hope Steve Spagnuolo doesn't drop Tano Passanio back into coverage like we saw Sunday night. but yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun game for sure. So, Ian, thanks for jumping on today with me for sure. Like I said, highly anticipated game. Where can everyone find you and find your work with Full Press Coverage?
Well, of course, you can follow me on Twitter. I have some great takes on the quarterbacks. I'm sure you'll enjoy it, but it's at IGLEM31. And, of course, you know, you can see my stuff at FullPressCoverage.com, FullPressHockey.com. And, of course, this week, if you want to razz some of us over at FPC Buccaneers, you can do that at FPC_Buccaneers.
All right. And, of course, guys, I had a Behind the Enemy Lines Buccaneers piece giving my view on Tampa Bay. Dropped today as we're recording this on Friday, so check that out. I'll also have a game preview article with three keys to victory for both Tampa Bay and Kansas City coming out on Saturday. So stay tuned for everything on Twitter at FPC_Chiefs. You guys can follow myself at BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end. Enjoy the game Sunday, and we will see you guys next time.